So just to update you, we're just waiting for an ambulance for the gentleman who has taken on Will's unwell. So it may be that we just have to go out this door at the end and just leave as quickly as possible. So we'll see just what way we are whenever the service comes to an end. So Mark chapter 8 is our scripture for this morning. This passage with this quite unusual story of this man who is blind and who is led by the hand by Jesus, and he is healed in a two-step process. First of all, Jesus puts his hands on him, and the man says, "I see, but I see men as trees walking." And then Jesus has to a second time put his hands on him, and it's then that he sees clearly. So there is a sense here of a miracle that's a unique miracle. It's a two-stage miracle, and it's one that we draw your attention to today because of the themes of darkness, in the sense of not seeing things, which the disciples were guilty of earlier in the chapter, and also which the Pharisees were guilty of early in the chapter as well. And there is also in this, just to say, there's a kind of unique element in this. Jesus spits on the man's eyes. It's not something we would normally, when we talk about if our children were fighting and spat on each other, we would really discipline them for that. Or if someone was spitting on you, it would be a sign of contempt or a sign of disgust. That's what they think of you. And yet here, none of that is the case. As Jesus spits on the man's eyes and then puts his hands on him, and there is this kind of challenge of this. What is this saying to us? What is the point that's being made here? And what can we learn from this miracle and the works of God and the ways of our Savior? So let me make four lessons today out of this, four things that we can learn. And first of all, I believe this story of this man whom Jesus led by the hand out of the village, this man, it's telling us about the depths of human blindness. And this has been a theme that is, as I say, earlier in this chapter of Mark as well. There's the blindness of the disciples, for example, in verse 4. There's another crowd of people have come to hear Jesus preaching, 4,000 men plus women and children. And Jesus says, if we send them away, they've been with us for 3 days, they're going to be famished and they're going to not be able to cope without food. What are we going to do? And for me, reading this, I mean, not that long ago, we were in Mark chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000, which was maybe a few days or a few weeks before in real time or a few months, we don't know. But you think when there's a crowd now of 4,000, the disciples would say, "Well, Lord, you did it before, could you not do it again?" But no, they don't say that. They say in verse 4, when Jesus says, "Lord, can we not get bread for these people? Lord, there's no shops." The word that comes to my mind is they were like dolts, D-O-L-T-S. They were just dumb. You know, Jesus had just fed 5,000. Now there's 4. Surely the obvious thing is to say, "Lord, you've done it before. Can you not do it again?" And then there's the blindness of the Pharisees in verse 11 who come with Jesus just having fed 4,000, and they come to test him and they ask him for a sign from heaven. They've just seen a sign. And yet here they come asking for another sign. And I believe what this passage is saying to us is that human blindness, the depths of it comes in different ways. The disciples were blind because despite all the evidence of 5,000 men fed with 12 baskets of leftovers and 4,000 men fed with 7 baskets of leftovers, when the disciples reply, "Oh, there's not enough shops," the disciples were simply demonstrating us that sin leaves you with no expectation of God. Sin leaves you flat. Sin leaves you with a mechanical mindset. It's kind of a a purely scientific mindset, you just leave God out of it. And you just think, how can I fix this myself? And that's these disciples. That's the first sign of blindness here in their lives. They had just no expectation of God. And sin does that to us. It leaves us with no expectation of God. And the Pharisees were blind because their pride meant they were telling God what they thought God should do. They were full of themselves and of their own performance and how important they were and how significant they were. And asking for another sign, I feel like saying to them when I read this, when they came to test him and asked, how many signs will you need before you will believe? Do you know, there's been healings, there's been demons cast out, there's been the feeding of the 5,000, there's been the walking on the water. How many signs do you need before you'll believe? And this is the pride of the human heart, that the human heart sits in judgment of God and tells God what it expects of God and doesn't come before God and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? It's all about you. And the Pharisees, it was all about them. The disciples, they were just no expectation. And I think this story is just simply saying to us today that the blindness of the human heart is such, it comes out in different ways, but it does come out. No expectation in some, and in others are just too full of themselves to actually believe the things that are right in front of their eyes. The second thing that we get here in this story is verse 22. This man had friends who brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He had friends who brought him to Jesus. I'm guessing he knew about Jesus because everybody knew about Jesus. They were all talking about it. His ministry was the talk of the country, and most likely this man just thought he was too far gone in his blindness. What's the point of going to see this man who's supposed to be a healer? But his friends weren't giving up. And Matthew Henry, a commentator, says on this, if those that are spiritually blind do not pray for themselves, let their friends and relations pray for them that Christ would be pleased to touch them. And this is when I'm encouraging you to bring people tonight to the drive-in. They'll maybe not come by themselves, but you could say, come. Come with me. Come along too. And hear the word of the Lord. But the encouragement here is that we should be praying to Jesus for family and friends who as yet are still in spiritual blindness and darkness. They may not be praying for themselves, but we can pray for them. They may not be coming to Jesus, but we can come to Jesus for them and beg him that he would touch them and open their eyes and shine upon them. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will give you light. Lots of our friends and family, they're sleepy, aren't they? Their eyes are heavy. They can't see it. They're in the dark. But Christ is able to give them light. He is able to open their eyes. He is able to make them see. And we should be praying for our colleagues at work, our next door neighbors, our friends, our family, for a work of God in their lives. The third thing here, this story of the healing of the blind man is telling us, is about Jesus up close and personal. Because it is remarkable how much physical contact Jesus has with this man. Verse 23 says, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Again, to quote Matthew Henry, never had any blind man such a leader as this. To be taken by the hand of Jesus Christ and led by the hand of Jesus Christ. What a leader. What a shepherd. What a friend. And then he spat on the man's eyes. There's again physical contact. And then he put his hands on him, says verse 23. Again, there's physical contact. And I believe it's emphasizing to us that salvation comes through personal contact with Jesus Christ, up close and personal. because Jesus is teaching this man that Jesus is his only hope. Outside of Jesus, he has no cure, he has no light, he has no prospect of any healing in his life. He is in the dark, and he will remain in the dark until the day he dies. But when Jesus leads him by the hand and spits on him and touches him, he is making the point that only by being up close and personal to Jesus can salvation come and can our eyes be opened. We sometimes hear this, I don't know, when you listen to someone telling their testimony about how they became a Christian. And they maybe describe it as links in a chain, or they maybe describe it as the Lord led me this way. Maybe they had no thought for God whatsoever. And then there was a death in the family, and it really shook their world. Then they heard maybe a sermon in church or a series of sermons, and they just sensed God was speaking. Then they met somebody up the street one day, and this person just a wee word to them, and got them thinking. And they came under conviction of sin. And then they came to the point where they committed their lives to the Lord. And they look back, and what do they say in their testimony? The Lord led me step by step by step by step. And then I came to the point where I was converted. And he does lead us. He takes us by the hand. Even when we're blind, that's his grace. When we don't see him and we want nothing to do with him, sometimes he takes us by the hand because he's so gracious. Good. And he wants to bring us gently to himself. And this salvation comes through this personal encounter. Jesus is in charge. He is saying to this man, I'm your leader. I will deal with you as you need to be dealt with in a unique, personal, tailor-made way. No two testimonies are ever the same. God deals with us as we need dealt with individually and personally. And he does bring men and women, boys and girls, out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And the fourth and final thing in this two-step miracle today are the two stages before he sees clearly. Initially, he says, I see men as trees, look like trees walking, verse 24. And some people say this is a sign to us that this man had his eyesight and then lost his eyesight because he knew what trees looked like. And that's speculation, but that maybe is the case. But now, at this point, his eyesight is totally gone. And though he sees men as trees walking, Jesus doesn't leave him like that and say, well, at least you've got some light. What Jesus does is he puts his hands on him again, and his eyesight is restored secondly as he now sees everything, and this gradual emergence becomes a sudden emergence into full light. And I believe this is here in the Bible to teach you and to teach me that sometimes people emerge from darkness slowly. They don't always see everything straight away. They see things blurred, perhaps, vaguely. And they sense that God is at work in their lives, but can't see it all yet. And they need to be like the Apostle Paul. I always love Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3. A man who was converted on the road to Damascus, who had met with Jesus Christ in a glorious blinding flash of light. And yet in Philippians chapter 3, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and become like him in his death, that I might know him. I know him, but I want to know more. This is not a man who has received salvation and settles down happy that he's got a ticket for heaven. He may be saved by Christ, but now he wants more of Christ. And Paul was someone who was aware of the exterior Christ, but he also knew the interior Christ. The Spirit of Christ striving in him. A man who had known such blindness as a Pharisee and then received such blinding light. He wants more, to explore more, to experience more, to expand his knowledge. And if you're a Christian today, I hope you can look back over the years and sense that God has been opening your eyes more and more and more to the glories of Christ. I know that in my life. And there's a word here also, I think, for those of us who have been saved for years and maybe are feeling frustrated by younger Christians who don't seem to have grasped everything yet. Maybe they're only seeing men as trees walking. They haven't quite got there yet. They're emerging, but they haven't emerged. Be patient with them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Get alongside them. Don't knock them or mock them. They'll get there with your help. You're there to be alongside them. I remember when I was a very young Christian, there were some older folk in my church who really got alongside me to mentor me. They sat beside me in church, particularly in a Sunday night service. There was an old man sat beside me in the service, and he mentored me in many ways, giving me books and praying for me and encouraging me in the prayer meetings and so on. I tell you, I was green in those days. Really green. But that man and his wife had a very significant effect upon me because they saw that I was emerging, but not yet emergent. But they were going to be there beside me. And there were others. And the story ends in verse 26. Jesus sent them home saying, "Don't go into the village." Strange ending. When Jesus, back in chapter 5, healed the man possessed by a legion of demons, he sent the man back to his home saying, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." But here Jesus says, "Don't go into the village, just go back to your home." Why not go back into the village? Surely Jesus would want him to go and be a witness and to testify and to tell the people of Bethsaida all the things the Lord had done in his life and how he had been healed from his blindness. Jesus says, "Don't go to the village, stay out of it." You see, the problem with Bethsaida was that Bethsaida had passed the point of no return. You know what it's like if you're going for the train in Ballymoney? You know the way when you're going for the train in Ballymoney, you can be running a wee bit late, and then you hit the lights. The dreaded lights in Ballymoney. And they're against you. And the people in front are so slow. And you've missed the first time, and then you have to wait all that time for the second. And then you get the turn down to the train station, and you go down to the train station, and there's no car park spaces. And you drive to one end, and you drive back up again, and then you have to park out on the road somewhere, and you know the train has come in. And you have an appointment maybe somewhere in Belfast, and you miss the train. And when you miss it, when that train pulls out and you're not on it, they're not coming back. You've missed it. And that's here what this passage is warning us. Bethsaida had missed it. They'd had their chance. And Jesus said, "Woe to Bethsaida, if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, unbelieving Gentile cities, they would have repented, but it will be more bearable in the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than it will be for you, Bethsaida." And that's why Jesus didn't allow the man to go back to Bethsaida. They'd missed it. They'd blown it. They'd had their chance. And it was on the road to judgment. And even should a blind man with his eyes opened go in there, it wouldn't have made any difference to Bethsaida. They'd still have said, "I am as hard as nails against the work of God. Don't want to know." That's why the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And Jesus said in Matthew 12, "Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." Bethsaida hardened itself over and over and over again. And there's a warning here that we're not to say, "Oh, I'll have plenty of time. I'll leave it to tomorrow. I'll leave it the next week. I'll leave it the next month. I'll leave it till I'm older. I'll leave it till I'm retired," or whatever it may be. You may pass the point of no return. And that's why Jesus said to the man, don't go into the village. It's a lost cause. So as I close today, it is through what comes out of Christ's mouth that this man's blindness was cured. The Word of God is our only hope. In a world of blindness, so many people just can't see God. The Word of God is our only hope. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So trust Christ. Put your faith into Him, believing that He has led you even to this service today, in this place, at this time. And maybe you've come in here today hopelessly in the dark, but there's maybe a beam of light shining into you. And He is more than able to open your eyes, and He will do it, whether step by step or in one glorious eye-opening experience. And if your eyes have been partially open, don't stop. Go on in your faith. Push on in your faith. Press on in your faith. In the words of the old prayer, that I may know Him more clearly, that I may love Him more dearly, that I may follow Him more nearly. And next week we're going to see the implications of what it means to follow Him in those terms. May God bless you, and may God use this word in each and every one of our hearts. Let's pray.